For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, Coach. This is the Strap Dog with a great oldie for you. He likes to drive his truck. Aw, Auburn sucks.
One of the best oldies of all time.
Auburn sucks.
Auburn sucks.
There you go.
A little transition for you.
Good work. That was Strap Dog using the open mic on the brand new 960 The Ref app. Download it now. Whether you have an iPhone or an Android, you can get it. And that's what you can do.
You know, how many radio stations in the world today transition from T-Pain to Little Caesar and the Romans?
I tell you, Little Caesar can do it now. Yeah.
Little Caesar and the Romans.
I don't know how big Caesar's saying. we heard the Coasters, that guy with a deep voice. This is another one here. Somebody's pinching him. He got that high out there. But,
love it. Absolutely love it.
But I did hear that they had one of Auburn's players that was trying to get eligible. And, you know, Gus was saying, look, we got to have him for Georgia, and you know, we got an open date. Isn't there anything we can do? And he was taking a religion class. And guy said, well, we'll just give him one question. If he can get that right, we'll make him eligible. And Gus said, hey, can I come be there just to give him some backup, you know, just to fortify him, give him some confidence? Yeah, you can come in there. He said, you just can't answer the question for him. So he asked this kid, said, who brought down the gates, you know, who brought them down? And before he could say anything, Gus said, hey, we'll pay for everything.
Oh, man. I love it.
He wasn't wrong, was he?
That's right. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Well, Coach. Oh, wait. I hadn't done this yet. Are we done with last week?
Yeah, throw it away.
Yeah, let's get it.
We mentioned everything from last week.
How'd you do in your picks, you two guys?
I was 2-5. I did not have a good week at all.
Woo.
Mm-hmm. He went 0-3 in his. I went 2-1, but I only went 1-3 in the SEC.
I should have learned, Coach, never pick Wake Forest. Just don't do it. But I did.
Wake is
let me down.
Wake, now they're a Wake, giant underdog against Clemson this week.
What, 33.5?
Yeah.
I think Clemson's on a mission now.
They
were throwing at the end of the game against the Pack.
Got to run it up, Coach.
Hey,
style points, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be in the top four tonight.
Yeah, well, that's something I was going to ask you a little bit later on about. Maybe we can see what we think about the top four. All right, let's see here. I think that's got it.
There we go. It's
gone. Last week is gone.
Missouri means nothing now. It's all Auburn.
Now we're looking ahead. I just did the old Butch Jones Tennessee dunk it in the trash can.
Turnover trash can.
So where
Butch took his name out of the Rutgers job, he must not have a shot at it.
Do you think Shiano will end up back there?
It looks like he's making a lot of demands, you know, but I guess he's in a position where he can, but he's trying to get some increased facilities and all that, so.
Well, anyway, so we got another – like we were talking about the open mic app. By the way, get the 960 The Ref app. You can listen to all the local shows live. You can listen to Georgia sports and Georgia sports programming within a 75-mile geofence/radius of Athens.
That's pretty good.
It's fantastic. You can go back and If you miss Coach Donnan, you can go back and listen in the archives and get all of that as well. What am I leaving out, Logan? There's so many good things.
The open mic feature is fantastic. We can send you push notifications like yesterday.
That's right, push notifications.
When we found out within a minute or so of the Texas A&M Georgia kickoff time, we just threw a notification your way and let
good
you
job.
Know when we know.
Good job.
Thank
all right,
you, Coach.
Here's our next question on the open mic.
From the open mic.
All right, Coach, so here's a question I've always wondered. If third and one is a good down and distance for most football teams, why is it that both in the NFL and in college, a lot of teams, a lot of coaches, when they get second and one, second and two, decide to just pound ahead, get the first down, and then move on to the next series of plays? Why not look at the second and one, second and two as like almost a free play? Do anything you want, throw deep, whatever, you know. And you still got third and one if it fails. Always wondered that. Appreciate the insight. This is Jim in Athens.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much.
Good question. You know, you always look at your game plan, and you set it up with what we call waist downs, which he's talking about, second and short. If you're really controlling the line of scrimmage and you feel like you can make third and one very easily, then or they are susceptible to trying to give you something on second and one, then you can you got these what we call these go for it type plays, you know, where you just let it go and try to throw deep or throw a crossing route or throw a really good deceptive run fake and then throw your tight end across. But a lot of it has to do with your ability to make the short yardage. If you don't feel good about making third and one, then second and one is a lot easier to make because they got to play. They know that you might be going on a waist down, so they don't usually try to play short yardage defense on second and one or second and two. So it's easier to make it. So a lot of it has to do with your success rate, how you feel like you can do on third down as compared to second down. So if you feel confident you can make it, then you can run a lot of waist down plays and go for those big shots. But that's a good question.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's that easy, the open mic and the app. So, Jim, A, thank you for downloading the app, and B, thank you for the question.
I'm just excited how good the audio quality is. It really is fantastic.
It does sound great, doesn't it? It really does.
Great stuff. We need to put that Bulldog Friday Night on the archives. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's on the app, too, so, yeah, you can definitely listen to it that way, and, yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. We're getting email questions as well for Coach D. Let's see what we got here. All right, here's a good question from our man Tony. He's over in Winder. And, Coach, he said, you said early in the show that we didn't have our A game on offense last Saturday. What did you see that wasn't quite right against Missouri?
Yeah, first of all, we talked about on Bulldog Friday night, they got the kind of defense going to make you look bad. They got some big inside guys that can knock you back, and their linebackers really make a lot of plays in space, and they tackled well. We had some plays. We lined up in the Wildcat once, and Cook had a open run, but their safety came inside out and made it. What I meant was we had a lot of plays that were just close to being big. You know, we underthrew the one to Wolf in the end zone, which had been a touchdown pass, had another shot down the boundary that could have made. We got a couple drops, and just didn't get a lot of rhythm in the red zone, you know. I mean, kick four field goals, so you can't really say you got your A game. But overall, the number one thing, we didn't have any turnovers. We converted on the field goals. Our defense was playing good. And sometimes you're not going to be as effective as, you know, even though I don't think they have as good a defense as Florida, they do have a really good defense. And they stopped us some with some really good defensive calls. And if you don't make your own plays, then you stop yourself some. So really good call by Coley throwing that ball to Wolf in the end zone. And there's a good example to Jim who asked that question. That was kind of a waist down play for us where we threw the ball in a running situation, and he was open, but Jake just didn't get his feet set.
Yeah, and when you say Jake didn't get his feet set, is that a part of the pocket, or is that him, or is that just the time he had, or what is the, or is it, could it be different things?
He's just a guy that's always played in a catch and throw offense where, you know, you rhythm throws, you know what I mean, where you catch the ball and throw it on time, and then when he doesn't hit this first guy, then you got to redirect, and he's got a really good arm, but sometimes he doesn't use his lower body on the follow through. But he's having a great career. I mean, you know, when you look at his touchdown to interception ratio and all that, and particularly when people are rushing him, he's had a good year this year too, throwing the ball. So he's going to have a really good chance to show what he can do Saturday, because they challenge you. They play a lot of man coverage. I look for Pickens to have a big game.
Well, Stevie T has a question that kind of has to do with Pickens. Mm-hmm. So that's a perfect segue into this. He's talking about the receivers wearing gloves, and he's noticed that that we don't use them. Why not in this day and age with, you know, the gloves thing? This is his observation, not mine.
I have no idea on why we don't. There's a lot of teams that use them, particularly in the pros. But there's no reason that, you know, they tell them that they can't wear them. But I'll probably ask that question to one of the coaches here in the next couple of days.
Because, well, he says, if you were a head coach, would you demand your receivers wear gloves? I do. Today's gloves should be illegal, but since they're not, why don't receivers? He doesn't say Georgia doesn't use them. I guess he was just saying, you know, these things give the receiver such an advantage.
They do, particularly on a wet field. I mean, wet ball, you know, they do a good job with them. But I really haven't noticed. See if we got any pictures of our receivers there. But that's pretty good.
We can definitely find them in the archives.
Pickens, boy, he had a great night the other night. Too bad he lined up in the wrong position there and got a penalty. He had 3 touchdown passes.
Yeah, that would have tied a school record. So
who has that, Edwards? Or?
Edwards has been done by like 3 or 4 people. So Edwards did it. What do you got?
I'll just say, using our good buddy Josh, who takes our great photos, Pickens is wearing gloves in his first touchdown.
All right, so Stevie T didn't say they weren't. I just misunderstood his question.
All right.
He was saying, why wouldn't you?
It's pretty much a standard. Most guys wear them. But even some quarterbacks wear them now, you know. Ben Roethlisberger wearing one, and when it's real cold, Brady wears one.
Our man Jeff checks in, and this is kind of a little off, not on the field, but he says, if the officials are wired with radios and earpieces so they can communicate among themselves, is anyone else allowed to eavesdrop on their conversations? Are the TV networks given their frequency so they can monitor their conversations and relay it to the commentators in the TV booth? He's talking about the officials.
Yeah, I don't believe that's something that they've got privy to. I just think that that's a situation where it really helps your communication, though, because of the distance between, say, the referee and the back judge or the field judge, and they're communicating what they're doing as he's walking up there to get the foul that occurred. So, and it helps each other, you know, talk about what to look for in between plays and all that. I think it's great that they have those walkie-talkie type deals.
If the replays are going back to Birmingham, what is the Viewmaster thing that the official's looking into on the field?
He needs to give his interpretation of it. Like the other day, we had a play, LSU, where the guy went out of bounds and then caught the ball. Which, if you go out of bounds on your own, you can't. But the guy on the field said that the reason that he let him catch it was because the guy from Alabama pushed him out.
Okay.
So that interpretation needed to be translated to Steve Shaw in Birmingham, that the ruling on the field was that he was knocked out of bounds, and then he came back and had 1 foot in bounds when he caught it.
Mm-hmm. So if you're pushed out of bounds, you can't be the first one. I mean, if you go out of bounds and come back in, you can't be the first person to touch it. But if you're pushed out of bounds, then
you can still come back and catch it.
But you have to reestablish yourself first.
You got to establish the field of play so you can say which foot's in bounds and which is not.
Gotcha. So it's not about being the first person to touch it. It's you got to reestablish yourself in play. Gotcha.
You're still a player on the field of play.
Gotcha.
I got a question here. I love nicknames. This is one of my favorite nicknames. The third best fisherman in Lincoln County wants to know, and I've heard other people say this too.
The third best one. Who's the top two?
Well, I'm number two, and then we don't know number one. He's out there somewhere. But
The third best. He's got to be a friend of yours.
Absolutely. He wants to know, and I've heard other people.
Is he a real good caster?
He is.
Okay. All right.
He catches the big one every once in a while. I'll give him credit there, Coach. But he wants to know, and I've heard other people ask the same question, why doesn't the Georgia offense run more slants and more screens? Is this philosophy? Is it youth? What is the reason, if there is one, why we don't see more of that in the offense?
We just have a tendency to throw the ball outside a lot more than we do on the slant. you know, the timing. We've started running a few more screens, but, you know, I really don't know the philosophy behind it, but we just haven't. When Eason was here, a taller guy, we threw the slants. You know, no more than we throw. We don't want the ball knocked down at the line of scrimmage. So it's just a lot safer to throw, you know, the out or the up. So that's the only way I can answer that one. And he needs to work hard to get to be number two.
I was going to say, that's third best fit. That's weak.
Biggest room in the world is a room for improvement.
No, nobody likes that bronze medal podium. It's just not fun to be there.
Although, you know, I will say, though, I bet there's a lot of good fishermen in Lincoln County.
There are.
So if you're third, that probably is pretty good.
He can catch some crappie. Yeah, I'll give him that.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That's not bad
at
all.
I'm impressed with him.
Yes, thank you for for all the questions there.
That's a good nickname.
By the way, our man Tony dug up our you were talking about this on University Tire and Automotive's Bulldog Friday night last week about rushing, or when you were the offensive coordinator, and in 1988 against Kansas State, Oklahoma set the single game rushing record of 768 yards. And I thought it was funny the story you were telling about how Coach Switzer was telling basically instructing how to do all these things to make the field longer.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted that record, and he didn't want to run the score up on them. But, you know, at the same time, he told the second team that we're going to fight for this record. And what we told the defense, hey, get them off the field, and when they punt, let the ball roll. We don't want to fair catch it. We want more yards. And he told the second team line, if you get a holding call, I'm going to run your butt. And he just wanted to, for some reason, he wanted that rushing record because we're a rushing team, and we got it. We still got it, don't we?
I believe we read that it's been broken by an FCS team, but it's still the FBS record.
Yeah. Well,
I think
we hung 70 on them that day.
70-24, 768 rushing yards. All right, a blast from the past here. So Charles Thompson, who was starting in place of Jamel Holloway, scored three times and threw a touchdown pass in the first quarter. The touchdown pass was to Adrian Cooper.
Adrian was a good tight end. He was a backup to Keith Jackson. He's from Denver, Colorado, and he started out as an outside linebacker for us, and we put him over at tight end, and he did a good job for us. We had some really good tight ends that never got in the game because we had Keith Jackson. But the last year we started running two tight ends, and we had this kid from Delray Beach, Florida. His name was Duncan Parham, and we had the
if you don't get the chicken parm, get the Duncan parm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Duncan had a slower voice than I do. And we had this deal where they talk about the when they come in there, we have this deal where all the players do some imitations or do some talent. It's a talent show. Since he was a transfer, he was coming in from University of Florida, where Galen Hall, who had been at Oklahoma, was taking over there for Charlie Pell, and they were getting ready to be on probation. They're trying to get some of these guys out of there that were in trouble, you know. And so he gets up there right in front of the whole team. He says, "My name Duncan Palm from Delray Beach, Florida, and I just want to tell you I was on the original Pell Grant, the Charlie Pell Grant."
Oh, that's awesome.
Excellent.
That is awesome.
Charlie Pell Grant.
The Charlie Pell Grant paid a lot more than the regular Pell Grant.
Yeah, he had him a nice Chevrolet that he drove out there.
That's awesome. I love it. By the way,
you don't get that stuff on any show.
Got that right. Reserve halfback Eric Mitchell had 161 yards and two TDs on six carries.
Yeah, Eric could show you his taillights. I mean, he was a backup to Spencer Tillman there for a couple years, and then he started playing a little bit more. And Spencer used to do local radio on the local, you know, now he does for Fox, but he used to do the local radio on the student section.
Right.
And one night he got really nervous, and he said, "I forbid you a good night." So every time I see Spencer, I said, "You've come a long way since you forbid us a good night."
A good night. By the way, so back then it was you guys in Nebraska. If you just took your second team, would they have finished second or third in the league?
We've been third in Lincoln County. We've been third in
just like Lincoln County. Yeah. So your backups would have It would have been Oklahoma, Nebraska, then the Oklahoma backups.
And then Nebraska backups.
And then the Nebraska backups.
But Colorado got better there towards the end, you know, yeah. And they got better. They went to the wishbone, and we actually helped them with the wishbone. They were so bad early, we helped them. But then they got Sal Onesi in there, and he started playing a lot better. But
what was Coach McCartney's background before he got to?
He was a coach at Michigan for a long time. He was Bo Schembechler's number one assistant.
Okay.
And then he took over. I tell you, dynamic speaker, man. He can. He was unbelievable when you hear him at these clinics and all. Just a really dynamic guy.
By the way, in the category of you just don't know, seeing Charles Rogers had passed away yesterday. I know, isn't that crazy?
Did he play for Nick Saban there?
I think it was Williams, but I may be wrong
on
that.
I think Nick recruited.
Nick must have recruited
him. I think
him.
He had a big game against Florida in that Citrus Bowl.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was Nick's last game or so. But Charles Rogers, hard to believe, was 38?
38. Golly, man. And apparently, I don't know how he passed away. They didn't really say, but he had been hurt a lot, and he got addicted to, like, pain pills and pain. You
that
know.
Happens.
Oh, I can't. I'm surprised you don't hear more about it with football players.
Right.
Because Brett Favre admitted to it, that he had all those problems.
Did you ever hear Brett Favre talking about the meeting that they used to have, and he had that really smart guy from BYU, Ty Detmer, was his quarterback with him in there. And people out there really know football. You understand it. But he kept talking about that Andy Reid was a quarterback coach, and he kept talking to him and said, okay, when they go to nickel, this is what we're going to do. They go there, and so finally after one of the meetings, Brett went up to Depp and he says, what is a nickel coverage? And he admits it. I mean, you can get it on YouTube. He says, I didn't know what he's talking about.
Isn't that crazy?
He said, I just went out there and hummed it.
That is unbelievable. What it really is.
And Ty said, they call it nickel because they have a fifth defensive back in there, Brett.
Oh, okay. Good to know. I'll say one other thing, too. I don't know if you've seen him on TV, and I think he does a pretty good job. And this guy could be the biggest turd. Who knows? But to see Ryan Leaf back on TV, at least, you know, hopefully he won't, you know, fall off the wagon or whatever. But good to see him back, you know, doing stuff like that, too. I don't know if you know him or not.
I don't really know a lot about him. I do know that Mike Price was his coach at Washington State, and I've known Mike a long time. He thought he was a really good player, and he just couldn't make the move from college to pro, and it just always ate at him, and he got addicted, you know, and he just came back and – he does a pretty good job. They've got him on some of these B-list games, and he's doing a pretty good job on it.
Yeah, so hopefully he'll be, you know, good to go and not like
– give anybody a chance.
Give anybody a chance because the – I don't know if you would agree with this. If he's not the greatest, one of the greatest guys that just his own demons kept him from being better was Art Schleister.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
You can bet on that.
Yeah. I see what you did there. Yes. All right, we'll take a break. It's 9:29. All right, we come back on the other side and do a little previewing. If you got anything you want to shoot to us via the 960 The Ref app, we'd love to hear from you. You can go to the open mic and leave a question for us or Coach Donnan.
Something you don't get on the app or on the station is the visual of Coach Donnan's air piano. That was a good one, Coach.
Tickling the ivory just like our man, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah. That's Johnny and Joe there.
Johnny and Joe.
Joe is the girl.
They can belt it.
That's messing us up.
They can belt it. Hey, welcome back in the morning show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. It's Tuesday. That means Coach Donnan. That means he brings all the hits and his dimes for the jukebox with him. So without further ado, let's get back to these questions because we don't have a whole lot of time with the coach. So what you got, Dave?
All right, do you want to?
Yeah, I can play an open mic here.
Let me throw this. We got an email from our man Skrilla Dog. And by the way, Skrilla, we appreciate the nice words. He says he's from Greenville, upstate South Carolina. So he says, when you talk about the area, Dave, I know exactly what you're talking about. And then he goes, I'm also the same age as Logan, so we think alike there as well.
Excellent.
So thank you very much, Skrilla Dog, whose name is Josh. Coach, he's asking about the toss sweeps. Can we talk a little bit about the toss sweeps? And maybe some people think we don't do it enough.
Well, you know, in the old days when you had a fullback and you had a lead blocker and you had an I formation, that's a staple of the I formation, the toss sweep, the 46 gap, or, you know, where you run, pull the guard and kick out with the fullback. But you run the toss sweep over and over and make them tackle you in space. But we don't use a fullback. We use a tight end now, and we don't line up in that kind of formation. But we have implemented a couple of tosses here the last couple of weeks where it's more of like a quick pitch where you just flip it out there, and it's an outside zone play, and you're just trying to stretch the perimeter and make a play. And we got a big run out of Harry the other night twice on two different ways that we did it. First was just turn and toss it. The other one was fake the inside run and then flip it out to him. So we're implementing a little bit more of that, and we had a good misdirection play with Robertson. You know, Robertson's touched the ball three times on running plays this year, is averaging over 12 yards a carry, and he's caught 20 passes, and he's catching over 12 yards per catch. So he's averaging about 11.9 per touch on 23 touches. We just got to get him the ball some more. I like those stats.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well-prepared coach. Now, you know, it's something I don't think about because we do hear toss sweep a lot, and I kind of forget that the fullback is a integral part of that play. So that answers a lot.
You just can't run the pure toss sweep without a fullback. But
And someone asked, too, about pulling the guards, and we don't do much of that either.
No, we did pull Ben on that one play, on that flip play, and we did run a couple gap plays where Kenley came and blocked the guy out. But we're more of a straight-ahead zone team. I could see us running – maybe some pulls against this team because it's so hard, so thick to move up front. They're just really spectacular defensive line that Auburn has.
All right, Logan, what do we got?
Yeah, back to the open mic on the 960 The Ref app. This question for Coach.
Hey, this is Todd from Harris County, Georgia.
Love it.
On the app. I just want to know how Georgia can get – do you think Cager and – Pickens will do a good job stretching the field this week against Auburn. Thank you.
Well, they better.
I know.
And by the way, Todd asked for a reason because Harris County's not far from Auburn, so yeah, I'm sure he knows a lot of Auburn
he's
people.
He's got a lot of orange and blue down there.
That's right.
And, you know, the thing about stretching the field is when teams play man coverage, they, you know, it's either really good or really bad, and from the standpoint of results. So we're going to have to be creative and create. Hopefully we got Cager where he's healthy enough to play. You know, the shoulder's separated and it's just got to hold it together. And he's a go-to guy. It's obvious Jake likes to go to him. Pickens can get some separation on these guys. He gets it on our own team in practice. So, but what you see maybe a little bit more of against a pure man team is maybe some crossing routes, you know, underneath the Robertson, using their backside of the backfield. They kind of mixed it up against LSU and did a great job. They ran a kind of a walk-to defense, what we call walk-to, where they lined up and looked like they could be in any kind of defense and then just walked to what they were covering instead of showing it, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
they just kind of grouped up there and then at the last second spread out and played their coverage to try to confuse Burrow. And you know, they kept them down and kept them out of the end zone. I mean, very good defensive game plan that Coach Steele had. He's among the better defensive coaches in the country. And, you know, I just think total game here. We got to have a great kicking game. Mm-hmm. They don't cover punts that great. Net punting's going to be big. And turnovers, as long as we don't give them a short field, they're going to have a hard time against our defense.
Coach, here's a question from Dave in Athens. That would be me. If
Dave,
with in front of an open mic.
This is the real open mic.
I was going to say, in front of an open mic.
And grew up in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
That's right. That's right.
Married to Carol. Can you give me another hint?
Yeah, exactly.
What's your last name?
David J.
Hey, no last names.
It grinds my gears when you don't tell me that.
All right, this is completely these are the kind of questions Logan would like. If Minnesota and Baylor both ran the table and won their conference championship games and finished undefeated, would both of those teams get in the playoff? And if they didn't, who would?
Yeah, I think you're going to look at that could be a scenario that would really put a lot of pressure on, particularly if LSU wins out. Then you got to decide which one of those two wouldn't make it, but because Alabama might, you know, because they would have beaten Auburn. So I think I would give the edge to Minnesota just because they would have beaten Ohio State, whereas Baylor, you know, their big win would be over Oklahoma twice. They probably can play Oklahoma in a championship game. I can't see Baylor beating Oklahoma unless they just play a lot better than they have the last couple of weeks. I mean, they went down to the wire, TCU in overtime, kicked a field goal to get into overtime, and then the week before barely hung on to win, you know, in a real tight fit against Kansas. So I could see Oklahoma really getting after them. I don't see Minnesota winning out. They could win. They could probably beat Wisconsin, but I don't think they can beat Ohio State or whoever.
Can they win at Iowa this weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be tougher, but Iowa's lost a little confidence. You know, they're just not doing much on offense. And their defense knows if they don't get a turnover, they're not going to win because they can't score on offense. They talked about, you know, he's the longest tenured coach in football. He's been there longer than anybody.
Coach Ferentz.
And they painted a goal line in his driveway this week so he could practice going across it on his way to work.
That's right.
Gotta or do maybe what you
for
gotta
his
do.
Maybe for his son, right? He's the OC.
Yeah,
he?
That's a little nepotism.
Yeah. Nepotism. Let's see here. So you got to roll from the Georgia Auburn game right into the Oklahoma game. So you're going to be
what time's Oklahoma game?
7:30.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably watch that, but it's kind of hard for me to watch one after I go through the ups and downs of, you know, us making plays and not making plays. But it's going to be we got a little bit. We'll talk about the keys to the game here in a minute. But, you know, I just feel like our preparation for Auburn the last couple of years been outstanding. We just snuffed them last year here and then also in the championship game. But they really got after us 2 years ago down there. I mean, that they had a great plan and they made a lot of big plays on us.
The players I talked to this week, though, I asked them about the atmosphere in 2017. A lot of them said the loudest place they've ever played. You've been there numerous times, Coach. What is different about the players?
I was there for that game, and that was the first time I'd been there since we played that overtime game my last year. And they just do a good job on crowd, you know, getting their crowds involved in the game with the different signage they have on their big board. I mean, they got the biggest board I've ever seen, and just a real good game day atmosphere, and they get behind their team, but they can get down on their team pretty quick like mm-hmm. they did last week against Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss had a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, our team is really due to have a breakout game on offense. I mean, we had a good game against Florida, but we missed some chances too. You know, we didn't put them away. I think we could really get some open field plays against this team this week. Some really big plays in the open field.
What are some other keys while we're at it? We'll go ahead and hit it here.
Well, defensively, we've got to stop Swartz and Williams. They're two wide receivers, just hurt you. I mean, they both got really good speed. Swartz is world class, probably the fastest guy in the SEC, maybe in the country. And they do a good job with him on reverses and things like that. So we got to identify him and make sure we don't give him anything deep, you know, play off of him, make him catch a ball in front of us. And then when they do run the ball, make sure we stuff them enough where they just can't make some garbage runs and make first downs, because they're not a great third down passing team. Most teams aren't. But this kid is more of a scrambler type, you know, make plays at the last second. So we got to bottle him up and not let him run the ball on the, you know, and make first downs like he scrambled against Oregon and some of that. And then offensively, I think our running game, even though they are stout, I think we got some ways to run the ball on them and be patient with it and understand that this is not going to be – when you play a great defensive team, you know, when you got an opportunity to make a play, you can't drop it, you can't overthrow it. I mean, we had an underthrow by Fromm 2 years ago down there early in the game. So you got a chance to make these plays, you got to make them. And then, like we said about Pickens and Cager and Robertson and Blaylock, you know, one-on-one. But the number one thing I think we can hurt them with is our backside of the backfield on their linebackers.
Coach Donnan giving us the keys to the game. Another question, too, from Sawyer. The email says, do you like the playoff format now, or do you think eight would be – or a bigger – he didn't say eight, but a bigger playoff bracket would be better?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know what it is when the season starts, so you can't really change much about it. But I'd like to see eight just because there's so many good teams now. There's so many – it's hard to tell who which the best conferences are. You see some back and forth. You know, all of a sudden the Pac-12's a little bit better this year with Utah and mm-hmm. And Oregon, and the same thing with the Big Ten. You usually don't see that many Big Ten. You know, you always talk about Ohio State and Michigan. Now you got Ohio State, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Penn State. So they're a pretty good conference. And then ACC's lower than whale manure right now. They don't even have one team in the top 25 beside Clemson. So
yeah,
that's why Clemson's got to run it up. But as far as tonight, my predictions on the top four is going to be LSU is going to be the first one.
Okay.
And who you got for two?
Ohio State.
I agree.
Yep.
Right.
So we're all on the same
page. We're on the same page. Number three.
We could ask the third fisherman in Lincoln County, and he would say number three is?
Clemson.
Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson.
And number four is going to be either Alabama or us, I think.
I think it's going to be Bama.
Yeah, these guys got fixation on Alabama. And that loss to LSU looks a little bit better than our loss to South Carolina for sure.
Well, the loss to South Carolina is just – it's the worst one.
It's looming.
Yeah,
looming
it's bad, just a – it's a terrible loss.
We'll still be fifth, but that's the way I pick them.
Speaking of keys to the game real quick, if you don't mind me working this in, a question from Fireball Rodney. George Pickens.
Fireball. He loves the Fireball.
George Pickens was committed to Auburn for a very long time, like almost two solid years. Are we expecting emotions from him this weekend? Say he does have a big catch and maybe he'll fire something off. How do you control that?
You got to control yourself and understand they're probably going to give him some stuff on the field. And just he's a very emotional guy. You know, he jumps up in the air and all that, but I think he'll be under control enough to understand that, hey, do your stuff on the field and just understand that you can't put your team in jeopardy by getting a 15-yard penalty. Mm-hmm. He's a very – even though he's a freshman, he's a mature freshman now because he's played, you mm-hmm. know, nine games. So, but he has a tendency to maybe make some mistakes occasionally on alignment, but that happens to people. My deal with a guy like him this week is coach him up positive and understand that they don't have anybody on their team that's as good as he is catching the ball. So we got to get him the football and make him feel good about himself and go in there on his headset singing James Brown. I feel good.
There you go.
<Da-na-na-na-na>. Got that right.
Good. I feel good.
And I knew that I would.
That game with Auburn, we got a lot of games we want to win, Florida, Tech, Tennessee, but you know, just the proximity, Auburn, so many kids from Georgia play on Auburn's team, and over the years, the ability for one team to win in the other stadium, you know, fortunately for me, we won two in there, you know, we won two games against them, and really had a chance to win the third one, you know, about a half a yard short there when Terrence Edwards stepped out of bounds, and then we went to overtime, but it's a great place to play, but at the same time, it's been proven that like the last 15 years, we got like 11-4 or something like that. What is it?
Oh yeah, it's been dominating.
Yeah, it's like 11-3, I think. I'll have to look it up.
11-3 is 14.
Hey,
14. 11, sorry, hold on a second.
You are the second. You are the second best.
Second
speller. He came second best in the spelling bee in Lincoln County.
I was told there'd be no math here, Coach. But no, we get a chance this weekend to celebrate.
Third best mathematician in this room.
Yeah, we have a chance to celebrate the East title with a win. That would go a long way in a lot of areas in their stadium.
You know, you just don't take it for granted. You get a three straight SEC East championships. I mean, and been dominant with the exception of the game against South Carolina. So, against Eastern opponents. So, but A&M is going to present a challenge next week, and then you never know about Tech. Look like they've improved some. They're getting where they can actually score once in a while. So They're getting better on their offense because they, you know, they went from a three-back offense to this, but we'll be ready for that one. But this is going to be a great month here for Georgia football leading up to the SEC championship game, and I like our chances against LSU. I really do. I think we played poorly last year, and they did a good job against us, but our guys know that all the mental mistakes and penalties we had certainly helped them, and we just go in there and play. I'm not thinking ahead here, but I like a shot against them.
Coach, see you again next Tuesday in here, and I'll see you in the studio Friday night for University Tire and Automotive's Bulldog Friday night.
I'll be there, and I got one last song that I'm going to play on the get out here that I think everybody will like. It's going to be what's going to be the situation for George Pickens on Saturday night.
All right.
Saturday afternoon.
We'll have that coming up next here on 960 The Ref. All right, per request by Coach D, Hall and Oates. Not just Hall or Oates, Hall and Oates.
You get them both right here.
That's right.
As you said, Coach, this is what you're expecting about George Pickens Saturday.
Yeah, it's one-on-one. Listen to it. One more second here.
All right, hang on a second.
Here it comes. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
Love it. Love it.
The music quality is so much better on Tuesdays than anything I can dial up.
It is fantastic. See you Friday, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. And exit stage left.
University Tire and Automotive's Bulldog Friday night presented by Dos Equis. We'll have it Friday in the studio. And then next Friday, we'll be back at the Blind Pig Tavern in downtown Athens for the show. All right, Logan. What did we learn today?
Let's run it down real quick. We learned that UGA basketball used to play over at the Psychology Journalism Building, also known as Woodruff Hall back
in its
day. Well,
it was the area where that is, not those buildings, I think. Yeah.
Also learned that something called Lithia Springs played too many football games. That means too small football games, not too many in quantity.
That's right. M-I-N-I.
Sammy Sosa's skin is white because he bleaches it, not a sickness.
Correct.
Also, we learned, I love this nugget from Coach Donna here, the anti-gunner.
Yeah.
Tyler Simmons is the anti-gunner on punts, so watch the other team's fastest player. You got Tyler Simmons all up in his grill, the whole punt. I love that. So that's something I will watch next time I watch a Georgia punt.
I know.
That's what you get with Coach D.
And did we also learn that the SEC Special Teams Player of the Week has been renamed the Rodrigo Blankenship
Player of the Week? Yeah, that's not official yet, but it is for 960 The Ref.
Yeah.
That'll be our coin to
turn. I mean, the guy's won it seven times.
It may as well be.
Five this year. I mean, this is week 12. He's won it every other week.
And quickly, thank you to all the open mics.
Yeah,
I'm loving this.
Download the app, and then you can tap the app. Have a great day. It's 9:57.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.